Warning, warning, warning. Be alert and discerning when choosing a church. Not every place with a Christian on the sign teaches Christ crucified according to Scripture.
Good. Happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary to you, too. 39 glorious years. You know, when I was younger, I didn't think I would live to be 39. And now we've been married 39 years today.
That is true. You used to say you had this gut feeling that you would not make it out of your 30s.
Correct.
Which, as a young woman, I didn't like to hear that, but...
Well... You drug me through. No.
That's right. I was dragging you along. You were going to make it. And here you are at 60. And we are now officially entering our 40th year of marriage.
Exactly right.
Today.
That's awesome.
Yep.
You put up with a lot of crap.
I don't feel like we're old enough to.
I know.
I thought this morning. I mean. That's
so this is a warning to all of you younger folks out there listening, and I don't feel, I mean, I know I'm 60, and I'm not as active as I used to be, and I'm not as thin as I used to be, not that I was ever truly thin, and it takes a lot more effort. You know, we just had finished the episode of 125, I believe it was, about basics, and I failed to mention during that episode, and I feel bad about that, we had an episode previous that I should have referenced, and I did not, and I felt bad about that because episode 123 about ancient wisdom versus modern arrogance, I really feel like that back to basics episode 125 or basics episode 125 and that episode 123, ancient wisdom versus modern arrogance. And if you've not listened to that, please do so. They really do tie together. And I just wanted to bring that up, that something to talk about. Because this episode is just titled Warning, right? And what are we warning about?
We wanted to carefully word this, right?
Yes.
I think I kind of said that in the previous
episode
entering into that about we don't want to put, talking about this kind of revival that seems to be happening, we don't want to put water on the flame.
No, and we want to say praise be to God for the revival.
Absolutely.
That people are talking about. Christianity, about the Bible, and
people are saying that they're opening their Bibles for the first time ever.
Or going to churches for the first time in decades.
I mean, glory to God for that.
Correct. Amen. Amen.
But we just want to kind of give some...
And you've been in your daily reading, you always do a reading out of Proverbs, and you've been in Ephesians.
Yep, I do a... Again, it's my Lutheran ways. I do a gospel reading.
Correct.
And I do, I just, because again, I've said that before, I do a Proverbs reading. So I do the three.
Yes.
You know,
Old Testament, New Testament, or Old Testament epistle and the gospel reading. Right.
So I just happened to be in Ephesians 5 this week. And I just, you know you always ask me, usually on Friday night, do I have any ideas for a podcast? So I was a little preemptive yesterday.
You were, and that was awesome.
And so I shared some ideas from Ephesians 5, and I shared with you that, you know, this whole idea about, you know, I was kind of worried or about this whole revival about knowing what I know, obviously, even before... the assassination of Charlie Kirk.
Correct.
Knowing some of the, what we refer to as like prosperity gospel churches.
Correct.
Some of the leaders, we've had this conversation again before the assassination.
Yes, yes.
Some of the leaders, some of the very people that I have followed, which I'm not going to name, and we may have even talked about it on this podcast. I'm not sure.
We have, yeah.
Just what a turn. I mean, I've been in several Bible studies, women's Bible studies, and followed some of the books, and was in total agreement with the way the words, the Bible scripture, a woman that I'm thinking, that I'm talking about in particular, was scripturally grounded. And now this woman is, I'm just going to say it, totally off her rocker.
Well, and I hate to say this, in full disclosure, I mean, we talked about many times about me taking a different path for a while or going down the rabbit hole of Taoism. And
but that was personal.
That was. I was still right.
And I didn't follow you.
But no. But and we had some episodes, and we talked about that at length, and how that, I felt personally for me, how that missed the mark. And again, in our episode 123, talking about ancient wisdom versus modern arrogance,
yes.
I think we clearly communicated how the Bible is timeless and it's applicable and it fits even in our 21st century lives.
Yep.
And if people go back to it, they can open their eyes and see. And this is the time. But here's the warning. In Ephesians 5, 6, and 7, it is written, "Let no one be deceived, you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partners with them." So the warning here is if sermons or homilies are mostly stories, psychology, or politics, with no grounding in the Bible, that is a warning sign. We have been warned. And then you can look in Acts chapter 17, verse 11. "The Bereans examined the scriptures daily to see if these things were so." So true revival always drives people back to the Word.
Yes.
And praise be to God for that.
Yes.
We need that in the 21st century on this rock.
Right. Which is why I feel like in our religion, when the gospel or the word is read, we always respond with praise be to God.
Correct. Is that right? Well, I'm very comfortable with it. Is it wrong if you don't?
No.
I'm not saying it's not wrong, but
it's validating.
It's reverence. Reverence, which we miss mightily in this 21st century of arrogance. So watch for the other thing, that warning, watch for the feel-good messages, right? Messages without repentance or Christ crucified. You know, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, it is written, "For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths." Oh, I got to have a good vibe. It just didn't hit me the way I wanted it to hit me today. Truly, and we'll talk about this, we truly want to be entertained. Or a lot of people look to go to church. They're not looking to worship. They're looking to be satisfied. They're looking to be filled with something.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take the focus off of us for a minute, for crying out loud. That's all I'm saying. Just be honest.
I know. Be bold.
Okay. So a sermon that only comforts but never confronts sin is not a biblical sermon. Grace makes no sense without the law exposing the sin. And in my study Bible, it's interesting to me that in Ephesians 5, guess what the study notes are? It's a one-page study note referencing law and gospel. Parenting. Law and gospel.
Oh.
Parenting. For full disclosure, my study Bible is a Lutheran study Bible. I think published by Concordia House. I don't know.
Probably.
It's not a Zondervan thing.
I think Concordia's got the market.
Yes, Concordia Publishing House. Yes.
Well, I'm going to go back for just a minute. Before you move on to the next thing, what I was going to say when I was talking about being upset about, you know, some of the people that I've studied before is you've always said this in any arena, whether it be religious, political,
mm-hmm.
is follow, because I'm thinking about what is driving this change.
Sure.
And you always say follow the money trail.
Correct.
And that's what I believe has happened. I mean, besides the spiritual warfare,
Yes, we'll be getting into that next episode. Right.
But I believe money's involved. People sell out for money.
Well, and we could talk about even on this podcast, you know, we're not some booming podcast out there, right? And we've talked about this. We've talked about ending this podcast, right?
Mm-hmm. We're giving it to the end of the year.
We are giving it to the end of the year.
And I don't say we. You, because I'm just here for your pleasure.
Your eye candy. You're my eye candy. Anyway.
I appreciate you saying that, but considering I'm in my pajamas and...
Isn't that awesome that we can do this?
That you consider me eye candy?
Yes, I do.
That's sweet.
But what you're talking about, you're exactly right. It's scary... And I'm guilty of this. Early on, decades ago, as I was filling a pulpit,
mm-hmm.
I didn't do that.
For monetary gains?
Well, I didn't. No, I wasn't doing it for monetary gains. No, my point is, I'm confessing. I'm confessing a sin here, in my opinion, that I didn't do that. I wasn't doing that all the time. To spread God's word, to get people's heart, to soften people's hearts, to enliven people's minds. Sometimes I did that for manipulation.
Oh, yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah,
for
right.
Controlling people. When I say controlling people, I'm not talking about controlling people's lives or to give money and write checks and all that. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about pride, the sin of pride. The pride is that, look at how I have this group in the palm of my hand. I can say this and I can get them to cry, or I can say this and get them to laugh. I can. Don't understand what I'm saying?
Right,
I'm talking to all pastors out there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I know that's something the pastors, true good pastors, guard themselves mightily because they have to, because that's easy to fall into that trap. And another warning that I don't think I put in these notes here is never, and I mean never, follow a pastor.
Right.
Pastors are just men.
Mm-hmm.
They try their best. It's an honorable thing they're doing, but that's not what their role is. Mm-hmm. Their role is to bring you into focus on the road and the path back to Eden.
Mm-hmm.
And we covered that in episode 125 about the basics.
Mm-hmm.
So to make that even easier, I guess I could say avoid churches that replace God's word with human opinions.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Ephesians 5, 10 and 11, it is written, try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. So if leadership emphasizes visions, feelings, or trendy topics more than scripture, it's a red flag. Be warned. In Matthew 15, verse 9, it is written, in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. There's plenty of warning in Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
And we just want to share that as we encourage this revival.
Yes.
Just be warned, be careful.
Mm-hmm.
Because what we're talking about is extremely serious.
Mm-hmm.
And we take it seriously.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a fleeting thing. Well, I know that revivals are fleeting things.
But we want to keep it going.
Correct. And we, as in man, will never keep it going. It's God.
Absolutely.
And true revival is rooted in the cross, not emotions.
Yeah, I have fallen victim of that myself.
Well,
caught up in the emotion of it all.
Correct, correct. We're emotional beings.
Especially women. I'm not trying to
I'm not touching that with a 10-foot pole.
I'm not trying to genderize that because, I mean, there are men that are in touch with their feelings, but I myself definitely am an emotional person and moved by things and feelings. But I think there is, you have to guard yourself to not be driven by that or looking for the emotion side in your religion. It can be an accompaniment.
Yes.
But it has to be surely grounded, surely rooted, footed. And then you can have emotions. But it has to be grounded in knowledge.
So well, because emotions are dangerous.
Come, yes.
The emotions are dangerous. You know, when I.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, work this week, right? We had emotional emails flying around. Yeah. So it's not just women that get emotional by any stretch. And it takes leaders and leadership to prevail and step back from emotion. A lot in my career has been always in management of manufacturing things. And one thing that we always have to, in my career, there's a term for that. They call it emotional intelligence. You have to have emotional intelligence. So when things are getting heated and things are out of hand, that's when you have to remain most calm and you have to have those words and understand how to
diffuse
and decelerate situations where people are emotionally charged.
Mm-hmm.
Church is no different.
Right.
Church is no different.
Mm-hmm.
Because we can emotionally get people riled up.
Mm-hmm.
I think a great example of this is, and this is not related to churches, but rioting.
Mm-hmm.
There's something about rioting, and that's emotion. That is truly emotion. And you've heard the term, the mob mentality.
Mm-hmm.
That's emotion.
Mm-hmm.
The church is not mob mentality.
Mm-hmm.
All right. True revival is rooted in the cross. A movement may seem powerful, emotional, or popular, but without Christ and his word, it's truly only noise. Mm-hmm. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 23 through 24, it is written, "We preach Christ crucified, the power of God and the wisdom of God." Talk about ancient wisdom and modern arrogance, right? So ask, is the Bible opened? Is Christ proclaimed? Are sin and repentance preached? Are the sacraments rightly administered? These are warnings. And I said, don't follow pastors. This is what I was talking about. Measure leaders by their fruit and their fidelity to the word. In Ephesians 5, 1 and 2, it is written, "Be imitators of God and walk in love, as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." True shepherds feed the flock with God's word. False shepherds fleece the flock for gain or applause. And that's what I was talking about earlier. Mm-hmm. I've been there, done that. Not for gain, but for applause, for, oh man, I had them all teared up.
Mm-hmm.
What a...
I had them in the palm of my hand.
Yes, yeah. What a travesty, quite candidly. Mm-hmm. And here's the warning that I just want all people, as you seek and enjoy this revival. Be a disciple, not a consumer. You know, churches today, many of them, treat worship as entertainment rather than reverence, or catering to consumers, not forming disciples. In Hebrews 4, 12, it is written, "The word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword." So we gather to cut by the word, then healed by Christ. That's important. And I think that's what you were saying earlier. It's the word of God. Mm-hmm. And another warning. Guard your household. Mm-hmm. Ephesians 5, 15 and 17. "Look carefully then how you walk, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." Guard your house. As husbands, wives, parents, grandparents, we must shepherd our own families and ensure they are fed by the true word of God. These are the warnings.
Yeah.
My queen, do you have any closing thoughts?
Sorry. Well, you mentioned in Ephesians 5:10 that it's a try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. I have discernment is mentioned multiple times in the Bible. And, you know, we've talked before about I have a discerning spirit and I am not alone. There's many people who have discernment. And I think that we all have the ability to discern between light and dark, truth and lies, But another area that, another part of Ephesians 5 that we did not talk about, that I guess I'll make part of my closing thoughts, is further down in verse 13. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. Therefore, it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is.
Amen. Amen. Shall we close in prayer?
Yes, sir.
I just want to say, just before we pray, the simple truth is revival without the Bible is not revival.
Mm-hmm.
Emotion without repentance is not conversion. Church without Christ crucified is not the church. So be alert. Test everything against the word and cling to Christ alone. Let's pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Almighty and everlasting God, you have warned us through your holy apostles to test the spirits and to hold fast to the truth of your word. We thank you for giving us the light of Christ, which exposes every false teaching and guides us safely through the darkness of this age. Keep our hearts anchored in the scriptures, our minds sober and watchful, and our lives rooted in the love of your Son. Protect your church from wolves in sheep's clothing, and grant your people discernment, humility, and courage to follow only the voice of the Good Shepherd. Strengthen us to live as children of light, not swayed by empty words or feel-good messages, but built up in the faith once delivered to the saints. Let us, by your Holy Spirit, until we are brought at last to the joy of your eternal kingdom, where Christ reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
Go in peace, steadfast in the word of God, and may the blessing of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit guard and guide you now and always. Amen.